Hello, I'm Vincent Rajkumar, Professor of Medicine at the Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota. Welcome to Medscape Oncology Insights, coming to you from the 2017 ASH Annual Meeting. Today, we will be discussing some of the highlights from the myeloma sessions at the meeting. As you're well aware, there has been a dramatic amount of progress made in multiple myeloma in terms of preventing progression from asymptomatic to symptomatic disease, treatment of newly diagnosed patients, treatment of relapsed multiple myeloma, as well as improvements in supportive care. At this ASH meeting, we saw several abstracts that addressed each of these stages. For instance, in smoldering multiple myeloma, there were at least two strategies trying to prevent or delay progression from the smoldering stage to the multiple myeloma stage. One was an abstract by the Spanish multiple myeloma group that looked at a fairly intensive approach. And here the idea was, if we deliver very intense therapy to the early asymptomatic stage, can we even cure the disease? So they employed carfilzomib Blendex stem cell transplantation, carfilzomib Blendex consolidation, and then maintenance therapy. They found 100% response rate with 50 to 60% of patients reaching minimal residual disease negative state. Now, only time will tell whether this kind of an approach can really make a difference or not. This is a phase two study, so it's the first step in many clinical trials to follow. On the other hand, there's another strategy which is designed more to control the disease rather than to cure it. And the control strategy takes advantage of single agents that have very good safety profile, very high activity, and the goal here is to delay the onset of symptomatic disease by many years. So there was an abstract presented here with Dr. Craig Hoffmeister. He used daratumumab single agent for smoldering multiple myeloma and showed good tolerability and very good response rates in this stage. In the newly diagnosed stage, we have traditionally been using bortezomib Blendex VRD for induction, followed by stem cell transplant. The question is, can you improve on this triplet? And here again, the Spanish myeloma group has taken the lead. They had an abstract which compared a four-drug regimen of daratumumab plus bortezomib melflanprednisone versus bortezomib melflanprednisone. This trial showed a significant improvement in progression-free survival with the four-drug regimen. Only time again will tell whether this translates into an overall survival benefit. We hardly use melflanprednisone in the United States and in many other countries, so more data are needed whether this kind of a result can be replicated in studies that use more traditional initial therapy regimens. But nevertheless, this is very promising. The addition of a monoclonal antibody to frontline therapy seems feasible, seems safe, and also be associated with very high response rates and progression-free survival rates. Now, in terms of relapsed multiple myeloma, we've had a number of new drugs, carfilzomib, panobinostat, pomalidomide, ixazomib, all approved recently. At this meeting, the energy is on new treatments, and immune therapies are at the forefront. One approach is to use CAR T cells. These are modified T cells that target specific antigens. One of the CAR Ts that has been reported here was the BB2121, which targets BCMA. BCMA is B cell maturation antigen. This is present universally on plasma cells. And the study shows an extremely high, almost universal response rate in relapse refractory patients with this CAR T. But the idea also is, if you can use a CAR T against BCMA, can you use a monoclonal antibody and derive similar benefit? And here again, there is a conjugated monoclonal antibody that was studied by the Canadian group. Suzanne Trudel reported this study. And here, the use of a monoclonal conjugated anti-BCMA antibody, single agent, was associated with 60% response rate in the relapse setting. Very promising. Several other drugs are being tested in this field, and so we have a lot of promise in the treatment of relapsed refractory myeloma. I also expect, as improvement occurs in relapsed disease, that some of these agents and some of these regimens will slowly migrate to the maintenance setting or even into the treatment of newly diagnosed myeloma. Finally, no matter what advances you make in myeloma therapy, we do lose patients oftentimes to infections and other complications. There was a seminal abstract at this meeting by the UK group, which looked at a simple intervention, use of prophylaxis with levofloxacin once daily for 12 weeks associated with the initial therapy of multiple myeloma. What they found was when you use levoquin or levofloxacin, there was a significant decrease in the incidence of infections in the first 12 weeks, as well as an improvement in overall survival. So this is very important for myeloma patients that we can save lives by just using routine prophylactic antibiotics. In the same abstract, they also found you can further lower the incidence of infections by adding Bactrim, called trimoxazole. Now, this drug we use oftentimes to prevent pneumocystis and is routinely used. They had some patients who received called trimoxazole, some who didn't. And when they compared, the combination of levoquin plus called trimoxazole was able to improve the infection rate, reduce the number of serious infections and hospitalizations. So I expect this to be having a major impact in the treatment of myeloma. Besides these four abstracts that I've mentioned, there have been multiple other interesting abstracts presented at this meeting. We have had a long debate for many years on the role of tandem transplantations, that is doing two transplants instead of one for the treatment of myeloma. There is a study presented by the Italian group which shows that when you use two transplants, improvements occur not only in progression-free survival, but also overall survival. Again, I have to caution the audience that I'm not sure what this will mean for the vast majority of patients in the United States, since many of the new drugs were not available universally to patients studied in the Italian trial. Time will tell. We did do a similar trial in the U.S. With one versus two transplants, and those results are still being analyzed. More updated follow-up of that study will tell us more about the role of double transplant. There's also many investigators exploring improvements in conditioning regimens for stem cell transplant. Can we, instead of melphalan 200, use busulfan plus melphalan or bortezomib plus melphalan? And these, again, time will tell whether they make a difference in the outcome of myeloma patients. Overall, this was a wonderful ASH meeting with many new abstracts showing promising data for the treatment of myeloma patients. As a result, I think overall survival of multiple myeloma will continue to improve over the next several years. Thank you so much for joining me. This is Vincent Rajkumar speaking from ASH 2017 in Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you.